Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com and hauntedplayground.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at sheenametalspiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium, I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a 26-year talk radio host. And here on Haunted Playground, every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, I gather the best and the brightest and the most beautiful minds, hearts, and souls in the paranormal and spiritual community. And we talk about everything from source to spiritual path to things that go bump in the night. And my next guest is no exception to that, being one of my favorite people, who also has a little bit of a history as an actress doing films that fall into the horror and paranormal genre. Plus, she's just a hell of a good time, and it's so good to hear her voice in the time of COVID. Please welcome to Haunted Playground for the first time, I think maybe ever. I don't know that she's ever done Haunted Playground, but definitely for the first time since I moved over here to the Live Paranormal family. My very dear friend and wonderful, talented person, Sadie Katz, is here. How are you, darling? It's good to hear your voice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I've missed you, actually, during this forever COVID. So thanks for having me on the show, and it's good to hear your voice.
I think the most pressing question that all listeners want to know right now, sweetheart, is are you still a blonde?
Aren't
there no blondes anymore?
I'm going to say I made the huge mistake early on, you know, the first 2 weeks where everyone went crazy. And I was like, I'm going to dye my hair blue. Blonde should not do that. It doesn't come out. So I had to go through all this stuff to get it out. And between you, me, and all your listeners, I had a friend who's a hairdresser, and I crawled begging for help. We wore masks and everything, but it's pretty funny. One of the things I posted right away is, like, in 3 weeks, there's not going to be any blondes anymore.
Right. Yes, right away.
But I'm blonde as blonde can be.
We completely ran out of toilet paper and blondes.
You can't run out of blondes. I mean, the toilet paper, I have a hoarder. My fiance Miles, as you know, you've met, is a hoarder of all things. He likes to go to, it's just the two of us, he goes to Costco and buys these huge things. So we were walking around like we didn't even know, like we had already had, like, you know, 50 rolls of toilet paper. So that was like the richest I felt.
That's fantastic. In your whole life.
In my whole life.
That's fantastic.
Life. I was calling up
friends.
Yeah, it got really scary
where I am. We were down to Kleenex. It was for a while. It was
possible
Kleenex. I remember actually going out and hunting and being so excited one day because I went to the Ralph's grocery store and they had like a little tiny bit on the shelf of these tiny boxes of Kleenex and it said 2 per person. And I took 2. And then another time I went to Walmart and all they had was the toilet paper that dissolves for like your boat and RV. Man, I got that,
too.
I'm like, you know what? Toilet paper's toilet paper.
There was so much stuff that people did during this period and are still doing that is so bizarre. It really is.
Yeah,
how
I think
did that
in times
happen?
Of tragedy, and we talk
right.
about this on this show all the time, and I talk about this through my spiritual work all the time. In times of tragedy, people either get better or they get worse. So
right.
some of the population has taken this time to become kind of more petty, more worried about everything, more covetous, but then a whole other part of the population has taken this time to become more spiritual. For me, it's been like a spiritual retreat for a year where we've all had an excuse to kind of sit around and meditate and think about what we want the next phase of our lives to be, and that part I think is amazing.
Ooh, I love that you said that. You know, when you're in entertainment, as you know, sometimes you define yourself as everything about your job. And you think that you have to be working every second or promoting or what, you know, every time you go out, it has to be related to a premiere or whatever. And it was kind of cool for me to like stop and not have that. And I don't have to justify and pretend that I'm busy all the time either. And just really ask myself, like, are you your job? Is your job you? Or is that just your job no matter what kind of job you have? And it was actually really, I won't say I wasn't a spaz a lot of times, but that was one of my best gifts. And I wrote a lot and finished 2 scripts, which is really fun and
amazing.
Something I didn't have time to do. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I'm very ashamed of myself that I did not write during this year because I should have, because I have books waiting for me. But I have to tell you, I went into COVID thinking I am going to barely make it through this year because nobody is going to want a spiritual counseling during this time. And my practice, I mean, I had the best year I've ever had. My practice took off like nothing. Because everybody has time to think about their lives. So they want advice. You know what I mean? Everybody has time. And everybody's got time to think, you know, now's the time I should have Tina come in and clean this ghost out of my house. Or now's the time I should have Tina come do the chakra balance on me. Because people actually had time. And for me, I'm the same way you are. I remember once thinking I had not been in my home, and I'm kind of traveling between my home in the San Fernando Valley, the home I inherited at the beach that was I grew up in, and then my girlfriend's place. I mean, I think I haven't been in a home this much since I was 14. Because I just run since my freshman year of high school, and it never stopped. And now, thankfully, it's been nice to have this time to chill. And I got to tell you, I love the Live Paranormal Network. It's a huge network. It's a syndicated network. I love being able to talk to people from all over the world on the equal playing field of us both being on mobile devices. I love being able to do everything in my life online and through Zoom. And even though I'm excited to come back to teaching in person, seeing people in person, throwing charity plays, productions, I still am also hoping that this kind of intimate online part of our lives stays, you know?
I watch a ton of YouTube. I listen to a ton of podcasts. I'm a little bit more inclined on YouTube because they're podcasts. But, there's something that people, they say podcasting and all this is just going to grow. And I'm really glad for it because, as you know, I'm a talker, but I also enjoy listening to other people talk a lot.
Yeah.
I've always been into it. Did you? So here's the interesting thing, because I know that you're a psychic medium. Did you have any hunch of when this was going to kind of chill out? Or was that just not something you inherently felt?
You mean did I think COVID was coming, or do I have any idea of when I think it's going away?
That's a tricky question with COVID because it depends on your feelings towards COVID or, you know, whatever. But I'm saying, like, when, you know, it's interesting to me today, and this may be a controversial opinion, but I find it very fascinating that Los Angeles is out of COVID exactly a year to the day. I'm like, okay.
Are we Los Angeles out of COVID? Is dine-in happening? Because I'm
well,
dine-in now in Orange County. So.
No, dine-in for the first time. I sat inside a coffee shop with my future mother-in-law, and we were like, so excited. And then I drove by because I thought it was going to happen tomorrow, and I saw a lot of bars doing St. Patty's Day events. I mean, it's still at 25% inside, but, you know, I know a lot of restaurants around us and stores that are closed for good, including, like, yoga
studios
a lot
of
things like that.
Yes, a lot of things are closed for good. I'm still mourning the death of Jerry's Famous Deli, because when I grew up in Orange County in Los Angeles, seemed like this mirage that you couldn't go near. The first time I met a friend up there, a friend of mine had gone to an acting camp during the summer and had met some friends up there, and we went up to L.A. to meet one of his friends, and we went to Jerry's Famous Deli, and I think I had, you know, the typical $15 grilled cheese, and I was never so happy. So like, I thought there were posters of like Broadway shows everywhere, and I thought, oh my God, this is where I have to be. And at the time, I was so disgruntled in a place that was very religious and very conservative and very not about art. Now, you know, Orange County has grown up a lot, and it's different down here. It's still, like, let me tell you, during COVID, Orange County didn't give a fuck. Like, they were like, oh, we just people just coming into restaurants anyhow. Then it was. And I've really learned to appreciate sort of the girl inside of me that is part of the beach. And I can't seem to sort of let that go. And the nice thing about the fact that half of my career now has become working in the spiritual world is I can literally work from anywhere and do whatever I want. And right now it seems like my soul wants to be here. But I do think it's weird. I mean, I do think that I do think it's a lot about enough businesses complain and suddenly the laws get bent. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of a weird person about COVID because I kind of think we should have been forced to lock ourselves down for like a month, and I think it would have gone away a year ago because it's just all this kind of halfing it. You know what I mean? Just tell people, stay home for a month.
Well, I stayed home. It's so funny. So I was down for about 2 weeks, and then I was going to people like, this is not, I said, we're going to lose so much in these kids. And so I was very much like, of course, I'll wear my mask, but this is bad for society as a whole. And if you are high risk, you should stay home. And so I felt very strongly about that. But the worst thing right now about the internet that also happened this year, as you know, is, you know, you really can't be a different from the popular opinion, or you don't know how, like, the ramifications of that could be like pretty much end your career, end your world. People get very offended. So like, we need to get these kids back in school because we already have a weirdo generation. We're going to have the last generation. G's pretty crazy. This one's going to be, they're going to be pretty crazy.
Are we starting over again with A? Is that what's happening? Is this now Generation A?
What a great, you know, I think they're going to call this the COVID generation.
Right,
I have
exactly.
A feeling.
Yeah.
Don't
right.
You think
they're just going to be, it's going to be a mask. They're the kids that just scream stay home at people. And the moms are all Karens. Yeah, I know. Everybody's mom is a Karen. It's very strange because I saw like kind of this interesting, you know, people never seem to have a gray area, right? So on one hand, you have the total fear-based people who became Karens and they're turning each other in the Walmart. And then on the other side, you had people that completely didn't believe in it. And even after they got it, were denying it. Like, oh, it's just a scratch. It was odd for me because we all had it before we got locked down. So I got it in March.
Oh, I heard that too. Everyone was telling me that, and I think I had it too a long time ago. But I don't have any antibodies.
I was the last one to get it. My girlfriend's son came home from a thing where a bunch of friends ran an Airbnb in Big Bear one night with this hideous fever, and then the next week her daughter had it. The next week she had it, and I'm like, I'm not going to get it. I never get sick. And then 2 days later, I was so dizzy I couldn't stand, and I had 104 degree temperature. So, my girlfriend and I are both long haulers. Like, we have the symptoms. For people that don't think COVID is real, I'm telling you, it's real. And I think I probably look 10 years older. Could have done or not done because nobody knew what it was when we got it. And I'm kind of, here's my controversial thing, Sadie. I don't believe you can get it again. I think the people that they're getting it again are having the continuing long-haul symptoms, and they think they're getting sick all over again. Because we did the same thing. We were like, oh, my God, I'm getting it again. But every time it was less, and it was just, I think it hits your immune system, and it's just mm-hmm. our bodies trying to acclimate to what it's done to your immune system. From a spiritual perspective, and people ask me all the time, you know, when I do my church service and, you know, what is it? And I mean, I really believe that it's the spiritual lesson in COVID is that everybody on the earth is kind of fighting the same common enemy at once. So we all can now see that everyone's life is the same. It's not something that's just happening to people in Africa or just happening to people in Arizona or just happening to this kind of person or that kind of person. It's really happening to everybody, and everybody's losing friends and everybody's losing loved ones and everybody's losing, sadly, their old folks. And I think that hopefully that's going to make us all realize how much more the same we are than different. And inevitably that's going to be a positive thing for humanity. I mean, that's my hope.
Well, I hope that too. I you know, I'm such a pessimistic, but you know, one thing that I did realize, social media and because of work, like when you're an independent contractor, you work with an insane amount of people, as I know you know. But I did realize something that was kind of nice. I hate to sound like this because I love and appreciate everyone. I'm grateful for the people in my life. But I realized that there was some people in my life that were like, they were the biggest ones who were like, you know, I'm your ride or die. I'm your great friend. This is great. And I realized that they never reached out. Like in a year, I've never seen this person. I see them on Facebook, but it's normally posts about themselves and they're kind of negative. And I went, wow, I kind of saw, because the people I really love, at least I would get a text from, even if it's just one text in a year, they were like, oh, I'm checking in. This has been crazy. Are you okay? Or, you know, the Zoom thing, I got Zoom fatigue because there's only so many times you want to have 10 people drunk on. But there are some people I'm
with,
like,
with the out-of-sync audio. It's the out-of-sync audio. That's the out-of-sync audio as a radio person. It drives me crazy. The mouth not moving with the – it's hard for the Zoom. Especially in the beginning, it was terrible.
Well, I think one of the greatest – it was so terrible. One of the greatest things that's so, like, crazy is the Tiger King phenomenon that we all watched at the same time. That was, like, in the 80s when everyone watched the A-Team or something. Like, they all are Knight Rider. Cause I mean, the show was completely over the top and crazy, and, you know, I think people would have liked it, but it would have been niche. And now there's a lot of documentary series on that are a lot more, have a little bit more weight with some good guys in there, too. I don't know if there's any good guys in there. In the Tiger Doc. But
no, I'm in trouble with the Tiger King. It's disturbing to me. It's not a show that empaths should watch. Empaths should not watch that show.
No. Well, and I'm an empath for sure. However, I didn't grow up around animals, so I know but I do have two cats, and, you know, I had a dog for years that I loved, and my son has right now because that was his doggy. But I guess I had some friends who were just like crying and outraged, and I kept focusing on the different people who worked there, and so I was kind of into their psyche of how weird fame is, and, you know, how I had some empathy at one point, and then people fell out. But like, there were some things that united us. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think completely tore us apart in a way that's going to be hard, but it is kind of exciting. Like, I have a friend in London. I have, you know, I have friends all over the world, as you do, and they're all going through. It's so great in Italy. Shared experience. Yeah. Really, really incredible.
Yeah, shared experience is something that humans need because we live, Sadie, so much in an us and them mentality. And we need reminders that we are them and we are us. And there is no separation. We're all having a human experience. We're all having the same experience that everybody else is having, just in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah, I always say that, like, one of my favorite books is Madame Bovary. And it was, is it Nathaniel Hawthorne? So, like, literally my favorite novel. And I'm so terrible that I just had a brain fart. But it was written in, like, 1896 or something, very old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch it, it's the quintessential story of a bored housewife, if you haven't read it. Not watched it, but read it. It's a phenomenal book. But when you read it, all you keep thinking is, literally, this woman kind of marries a dentist. She thinks she's marrying up. And then she is unhappy because he's such a nerd. And then she starts having affairs, can't find her happiness, has a child, still can't find her happiness, turns to religion, no happiness. And then ultimately drives her. And she's a shopaholic. And she looks up to the rich people in France and gets a chance to go there. It's hilarious. Like, you read it, you go, same. This woman is the same. It's like we have
exactly right
as a personality, which is insane fun.
Exactly. I mean, it's like when you watch Shakespeare, right? When you watch Shakespeare, you're like, this is like something I could have seen yesterday on General Hospital. And you realize, like,
right?
People are not any different. Yeah, people are the exact same. The good people, the bad people trying to take advantage of the good people. It's the exact same stories. Probably, you know, probably pre-Christian Greek theater. It's the same themes. Like, look at Antigone. Look at Oedipus, Rex.
Oh,
it's
interesting.
The same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know
that,
what?
That, people I didn't even think about
some
that.
People are great and some people are scoundrels. And sadly, oftentimes, great people are the victims of scoundrels. And it's kind of always been that way.
Yeah,
So you were talking about what COVID did for you as far as the people that said they were your ride or die that never called.
Right.
The thing I think is fantastic about COVID, all the narcissists pretty much out of my life. Because narcissists are only around if they want something. And during COVID, none of us really have anything.
I don't have
any fantastic, fabulous things going on that anybody would want tickets to, or anybody would want to be around me to meet anyone, because everyone's locked in their hole. So all those people just went away, and it was so beautiful. And now I'm never letting them back.
Oh my God, I didn't think about that, but there's massive truth to that. And
yes,
one thing about COVID is, besides the people that I knew were older and, like, obviously we lost a lot of our people with pre-existing conditions and our elderly, which I love the older people. I have relationships with But I noticed that all the people that were sickest of COVID and posted it a lot were all the narcissists. And all the people on, you know, Facebook and Instagram that really were just getting flooded, like, hang in there, are you okay? And they were doing, like, daily vlogs, updates. And I just was like, wow, this is, I mean, celebrities completely freaked out this year. Like, that was kind of an odd thing. They're like, I understand they've been going at this forever, but there's a lot of ridiculous things they did. Like Imagine. I mean, stuff that I'm not sure if it was well-meaning or tone deaf or, you know, what, but there a lot of things kind of, I think, have shifted in our culture. Are the award show ever going to matter anymore on a big level, like the Oscars and things?
I'm confused because I saw something about Oscar nominated. Somebody was putting something up about a short on Facebook, and I'm like, aren't the Oscars usually in February? And then I was like, wait, it's March. What happened to the Oscars? Are they happening? Have they already happened? Do we know?
Well, I just saw it. Did they happen? No, they happened. The Oscars happened, and I didn't watch it, but it was a very, like, only the people on stage, and then people zoomed in, and the presenters were the only ones there. Or was that the Emmys?
Oscars. No, I think that was the Emmys and then the Golden Globes. I think they put the Oscars off, didn't they?
Oh, April 25th, but it's supposed to be no in-person attendance. And, I mean, watching the other day with Bill Burr hosting the music award with the Grammys and all that stuff, I just went, you know, sometimes it's good that people are recognized, especially for that one, because those are composers and people that are in the background, not just the big superstars. But I'm like, maybe I love the Oscars, but I don't know if it is a little bit tone deaf to people more and more, and the kids don't even know, because these are people who are really, really wealthy and have really pretty, lovely lives, which is fine, who maybe it's not that exciting to watch them get an Oscar and cry, and especially because now we know how much it's solicited and, like, rigged. I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I think that this year has changed the world, and I'm very happy that for me it's changed my world for the better. It was scary in the beginning because I had COVID, then I lost everything, then I was scared to tell people I had COVID. Like, everything I was involved in disappeared, and I kind of had to rebuild everything, and I think in a much better way, except for my spiritual practice, which has been strong and amazing. But I think it's in the end, for me, it's going to be a better world. I think if you're a person who lives for, you can't be happy unless you're on a red carpet or you're getting someone's attention, or like the narcissist, you're energetically eating someone's soul like a cheeseburger. I think the next 5-10 years of your life is going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
Things are going to come back slower. They're not going to be as many people allowed in bars and restaurants, at least till the end of this year. By July, we're probably going to be all back inside doing everything, but still there will be a little bit of distancing as far as capacity and whatnot. So if you're somebody who just fed off the energy of others, I mean, I wonder if I haven't heard many of these narcissistic people because they just starve to death. Because if you need someone else's energy to eat and nobody's around, what do you do? Which has been kind of fantastic, as a matter of fact. I mean, this is definitely, you know, in the spiritual community, they talk a lot about the age of Pisces ending and the age of Aquarius coming in, and how the age of Pisces is more about material things and, you know, money and fame and status, and how the age of Aquarius is ushering in this era that's more about love and a higher vibration and, you know, empath thriving, light defeating dark. And, you know, maybe that's what we're seeing right now is the beginning of that amazing universal shift. And that thrills me to no end. You know, it's time. It's time for good people to rise up and say no to those that have been abusing them in any way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Are we in the age of Aquarius right now?
I think we're just shifting into it. Yeah.
Wow. Aquariuses are such oddballs in a great way. So that's kind of funny.
The way it goes backwards, right? It's it goes backwards from the regular astrological calendar. It goes in the opposite. So it goes instead of from Aquarius to Pisces, it goes from Pisces to Aquarius.
That's really interesting. I wonder, so is that a lucky thing for Aquariuses? Like, this is going to be their time to shine, or does it just not pull that way?
I think for anybody who's flowy like an Aquarius, it's going to be a better time. Things are going to be less, everything's going to be more air-driven, which is good because I think we all could use a little bit more room and a little bit more air and giving each other a little bit more space and kind of learning to find your own space and breathe better and figure out who you are and all those things that air sort of signifies in spirituality, you know. And I just think it's also time for too long, and, you know, I talk about this all the time in my work, for too long, good, decent, lovely people, empathic people have cowered because people have come into their lives, taken advantage of them, and emotionally, spiritually bullied them, and they don't know how to say no. But now we're learning how to say no because COVID made them all go away, Now we've learned mm-hmm. how to say no. And now when I look back on some of those people and everything I put up with from them, I think, oh, my God, there's no way. There's not enough money in the world. There's no way in hell. So we've all learned now that we can live without.
True. And we can say
you
no.
Know, we can live without toilet paper and the Oscars.
I really did experience the same thing where I realized, like, for the first time, maybe this is because I'm growing up, don't tell anyone, but I realized, like, it's nice to be in bed early, whereas before I was, like, a type of person who, like, was like a child, you know, trying to stay up for no reason till really late. And just ridiculousness. Now, the one bad thing that happened during COVID is I swear to God, there would be some weeks where each day I got like 35 steps. Like pretty much from the bathroom to the kitchen. And like, that made me really rethink.
Yes.
I gained weight and finally lost. I realized it's kind of fun. Like, I'm not someone who watches TV during the day, but if I work from bed, I won't get out of bed, and it would get dark, and I'd be like, wow, I didn't really walk today at all, and I didn't leave the house. But there's something to be said. I mean, obviously, we want to be healthy, but recharging your battery, and it's and all of a sudden – I was driving in my convertible today, and I was just, the sun was great. People looked like they were in good moods. Restaurants were open, and I was like, well, that's one way to force gratitude down, you know, everyone to have a good time.
Like,
I walked in going, best day ever. I think
people just now are thankful for what they have. The entitlement has been taken away. And people now are just happy to be able to sit in Starbucks for the 15-minute limit. And I think it's made people more well-behaved because people now know they have to do what they're told or they'll get kicked out of somewhere. And people have become more rule-following. And I'm not somebody who's into rules for no reason, but I also don't like people who don't follow rules that are there for a reason. Because I think it's just bad. It just sets a bad emotional precedent.
I'm torn on that. I get what you're saying, and there are some things that I agree with. I feel like it's a very scary thing that we so easily gave up our freedom. And I'm using freedom is not the way freedom's been being used.
Right.
But we kind of were willing to shut down private owners' businesses, and that to me is the scary precedent that I wonder about. And how many parents, I have a really strong view of this, but I understand it. When I had my son, it's terrifying being a parent. Like, every single moment is terrifying because it's your heart walking outside your body that you are going, go for the first time alone to the mall, or, you know, when they're teenagers, or but it's just every day. We have parents that are getting more and more crazy about, like, that's why there's no kids playing outside, even though the crime rate is lower than ever for most of America. So now I think the parents buckled so quickly and were like overjoyed to not be in this fear of their kids, not just COVID, but everything. I mean, I have neighbors, but the kids have still, they're teenagers, have not left outside the backyard in the house. Like, you're insane.
Yeah, that's scary.
But that was the one thing where those are the things that I hope that people start to think about, because you're hearing these vibes of people saying with global warming, maybe we should do a quarantine every now and then. And I'm just like, we're going to lose the backbone of our society if we continue to lose small businesses. The rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to get poorer. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's,
no, I agree. I completely agree. But, you know, the thing about the shutting down the businesses, two things. One is, we were willing to shut down the businesses when we could get things cheaper at Target. So people don't really care much about that. I wish they cared more. Maybe this experience will make people realize how important the mom-and-pop shops and restaurants and bars are. But I get it. The other thing is that I think that COVID, why people were suddenly following rules, I think that COVID is a lot like Christianity in the sense that when people think they're going to die, they'll obey the rules.
Yeah.
When people think they're going to burn in hell, they'll obey the rules. I mean, half the only reason that people believe what they believe in organized religion is because they're terrified of the consequence. I mean, if there was no consequence, I don't know that people would behave in those rules. Like, you know what, break the Ten Commandments, not good, don't break it, nobody cares, you won't be punished. I think people would be like, well, you know what, screw the Ten Commandments, I'm going to do anything I want. So, we're like an angry primate, right?
But don't you think, like, in Judaism, Jews are, like, literally very successful. They volunteer. They give more money in charities than any other group.
Right.
They support the arts, and they don't have a consequence for being bad. And I don't. They don't believe in hell either.
Right? Is that right?
No.
Jewish folks don't believe in hell.
Yeah. No heaven.
Right.
No hell. And they don't have any like. My God, my mother-in-law just said this today, or my future mother-in-law said, you know, there's no such thing as a bastard child in Judaism, like, which is funny. Basically, yeah, and I mean, I've learned that from being with Miles, just that their thing is family, so they don't want to disappoint their family and tradition, but I think... Like, well, you know, Orange County, you have your Christians, and honestly, if you were following the Bible in some ways, like, especially when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I was surprised they shut down their kingdom halls and didn't go underground or something, because this would be something 10 years ago that I would have been taught that we would never allow meetings to stop, like, ever. Because it's a sign of Armageddon or the last days. Because religion can be kind of selfish, like your typical religion. Even Judaism can be selfish.
I think organized religion in many ways is designed by people. And when there are people, people are fallible, right? Where there's humans, unlike to me divine source, which is perfect, people are not perfect. And you live with the fallibility of humans. That doesn't mean that there aren't beautiful elements of spirit in religion, because there are, but it's really what the people do with it. And that's, you know, if you look at the New Testament solely as the teachings of Christ and you don't think about what any person has ever told you, it's actually very beautiful. It's all about community, connection, and love. But then if you go back and you let people tell you, well, this means don't do this, and this means these people are bad, and, you know, none of that is true. But that's what happens when people get in the middle of things. And unfortunately, you know, people need a little bit of a corral back every once in a while. Like I said, we're an angry primate. Have you ever watched the documentary The Dark Side of Chimps? I mean, it's terrifying. And
no,
like
I would
you're
love
angry.
To.
Oh, my goodness. You'll never think of a cute little chimp in a diaper the same way ever again. I mean,
God.
You know, and we're like that. We're angry. We're violent. We want. We're greedy. We're like this, where everybody thinks they're going to die if they don't behave. I mean, I know people have different opinions about it, but I think in the long run, it's been good for humanity. It has not been good for people's businesses, and for that I am very sorry. But it's been a good lesson for people to realize, you know what, at any moment, something could take us all out. So maybe try being a better person, you know?
Yeah, I do, everything you're saying resonates, because I'm such a gray, in the gray area, and... but I do, there's some, I'm like, you know, every horrible thing, I'm going to compare it to something silly, but when you're making a film and, you know, something bad happens, you lose footage or, you know, whatever, and there's a lot of people on the line, typically, like, little one, you get something else out of it that you didn't have that's better. And I even think a lot of people who have overcome adversity are some of the coolest humans. And if they continue to thrive off that, and it doesn't bring them too fearful. Like, I'm scared of the people who are never going to take off their mask, which I do think that there will be a few that
I agree.
That
that's sad.
They
I
loved
agree.
The mask. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
they
I
love
mean,
being fearful.
Maybe,
they love living in a place of fear. Now they have a reason to be fearful.
Yeah, and they won't go out, which I think it's different because when you go to China, I went to China 15 years ago, they wear masks because of the pollution, and, like, that's just a thing there because of the pollution's insane. But I think here they're not doing it to keep people away from them, you know, at least my experience with the Chinese. But here I do think that, like, I had so many friends who told me that they love this whole period of being at home. And I went,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I like my home more now, but, like, no, I love people. I would like to, and I know there's a lot of people suffering, and I'm obsessed with small businesses. I hope that I own some kind of brick and mortar thing or a little art gallery or something. I just love, if I'm buying a gift, it's going to be from the little shop down the street, and I don't ever eat at chain restaurants unless it's, like, by accident and there's, like, two chains. I just really love the concept of small business. To me, is, like, a big deal. But, you know, it will be really interesting the next 2 years to see what we find out about this period and about people, the aftermath, and about the kids. You know, a whole generation of kids didn't have their graduation, but now they have that all
I know,
together.
Or their prom.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they have, like, they'll be heroes. Like, they will literally, when they see each other, they'll all have that wonderful thing that unified them. And, I mean, yeah, you dream of your graduation, but they'll all have their story of, like, our school had us do drive-ups, and we sacrificed, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's really
well,
cool.
Right. It's going to be like, kids that grew up in wartime, right? None of that thing could happen.
Right.
None of that stuff could happen during wartime either, when you were scared someone was going to come and bomb you if you were, you know what I mean? So
right.
This is a war of sorts, and it's a spiritual war as well as being a bacterial war, a viral war. And it'll be interesting to see what humanity makes of it, interesting what happens with the energy.
The energy. Yeah.
I'm finding in my practice that people are putting up with bad relationships less. They are putting up with bad friendships and toxic family members less. They're thinking more about, if they live in a very dark, haunted place, they're much more interested in now. You know, you don't want a demon in your house when you can't leave your house. Like, they're thinking more about how can I clear my space, clear my energy, you know? So it's a very interesting time to work in the spiritual world because everything is so interesting. And I think because, you know, everybody has a lot of time now to grow and evolve spiritually, we're thinking a lot about, you know, a lot of psychology and psychics are sort of teaming together and blending together the concepts of what is the spiritual answer, what is the psychological answer, what I think is an enormous leap in being able to help people, for people to, you know, have a therapist and a psychic, and neither one is telling the other one, oh, it's crap. You know, I just think there's a lot more of a universal design that's beautiful. And I just think that what's going to come out of this is more unity, which makes me so very happy because I'm all about more unity, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know that. That's what I love about, one of the many things I love about you. Yeah, I it is funny because I do have another friend who deals with crystals and I think reading cards or something. She's lovely. Mm-hmm. Maybe she doesn't read cards. I don't know. She does like energy. And she's been slammed. She's like, she's making so much money that she started giving people like a little bit of a discount, but that kept her head above water for sure. And she even saved some finances. But you're right. If your relationship can get through this period, not that it wasn't rocky, I feel like, yeah. And I mean, there was, you know, some family members that I just went, I've got to let them go. Like, I must let them go. They're not great people and they need to go on with their toxic selves to other people because they've really burdened my soul for my life. And that was kind of like really amazing. And I think until you have time to sit down and look at your life and be quiet, you know, not be like, I have an appointment, I have this, which right now I'm back into being like that. And I'm trying to make sure I slow down in between. But for sure, it's nice when you have time to examine and say, who is this person to me? And, you know, who should I invest my time in? And who do I really like miss and love and respect consistently and want to make sure that they stay in my life? And who did I hang out with a lot of people all the time that I realized I didn't even like them? And, I mean, not in a mean way, but I was like, I didn't actually like them. They just happened to be at events and would invite me to another event, and I was so obligated. And then that leaves room for people that you know, fill my soul and I admire and can learn from. But yeah, this is such a crazy time. It's very crazy. It's something. It's something, all right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're talking about relationships, so I started mine January 30th of last year. So we had about
girlfriend.
Yeah, we had 2 weeks. And then, so I kind of met my forever person. We started on January 30th. I'd never really been in love with anybody before, you know, dated all different kinds of genders and nothing really stuck. And then 2 weeks after we got together was when her son got sick. And then it's just been, so we know nothing but COVID. I think she's met two of my best friends. My very best friends are like my sisters. I think she's seen each of them twice. I don't think I've seen any of her friends. I saw her family on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I saw her brother and her sister-in-law a couple other times. The first time was before COVID hit. So we're just kind of living this life of, and you know, there's nothing to do. Like I go to Los Angeles and there's nothing. I see no one but the cat. The neighbors don't come out. They close the pool. Like you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. I mean, up until just recently. So I pretty much hunker down in my house with the cat and get work done. And when I'm with her, I'm with her family. So we've kind of been like, it's almost like living together right away, which is probably not the healthiest thing, and not really seeing anybody else, which is probably not the healthiest thing. But you know what? You're dealt what you're dealt because of the time. And so you just kind of have to figure there's a reason for it and you go for it and you just live your life. So,
okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
That I think is kind of funny because the first thing that springs up is, so when everything opens up, what if you found out that she has this huge circle of friends that you just hate? They're like horribly obnoxious or...
Yeah, and, or vice versa,
and
right?
She's a go-out person. Yeah, what if all of a sudden you're like... Like, oh, she's, because people change who they're around, and it is true.
Right.
There is something nice about, like, being each other. It's codependent, but it's sometimes nice to be codependent on your partner, as long as they're not holding you back from things. And then, you know, the cap comes off the bottle. And now you guys have to find a whole other version of your relationship, which is,
yes,
wow.
And I'm sure we're facing that at that point. Well, if it happens in July, right, we'll be, we'll be a year and a half in, exactly. July 30th will be our 18-month anniversary. And then we have to figure out what phase two is. Do you know what I mean? So that's what we kind of like. Look, we're just going to have to figure it out. I mean, I know she likes my best friends, but my best friends aren't, they're social, but they're not really like go out and party all night kind of people.
Right.
And, you know, she hasn't met any of my entertainment friends because they don't meet anybody. So it's going to be once. She came to my church service once and met a bunch of people, but that was right before the lockdown because the next month's service was the first time they stopped having a congregation and it was just us doing it for video. So it's going to be a little crazy. Yeah. I mean, but we know that's coming and hopefully it's not going to be a train wreck and we just keep our fingers crossed that everything's going to be okay. And I think that, interestingly enough, I think that COVID has made us both less social because I think we realized that a lot of the time we went out because we thought we had to, but we didn't necessarily really want to. But what's going to happen with me, and I keep preparing her, is that when the world opens up again, my schedule is going to go back to full tilt crazy with teaching, speaking, and events. And that's going to be a change for us, right? And she's down here and probably won't want to come to LA all the time. So, you know, you just make it work. I mean, I hope that we're learning through this time of COVID is to give each other a break. But I'll tell you something interesting. She's a therapist. She's a marriage and family counselor. So she's also slammed right now and completely busy. And it's interesting sort of how we work, right? Because I, as a psychic, do a lot of the same things she does as a therapist, yet we do very different things. And right as soon as COVID hit, I kind of got the download from Spirit that we needed to start a little web series called The Soulmate Experience that we do, which is kind of about like you know, two chicks in their, because I'll be honest, two chicks in their 50s who really kind of had never really connected with anybody like this before our whole lives, kind of found each other. We kind of do sort of the same thing in a different way and kind of helping other people find their person. And it's really taken off. It's on Life Paranormal's video channel. I do three shows on their video channel too. A companion to this on Wednesday night, a companion to my Tuesday night Raising the Vibration show, which I want you to come back and do, and then the Soulmate Experience, which will probably wind up being a radio show here too. So it's interesting how we kind of were brought together in this time, and the time gave us the time to be able to work together on what really is our spiritual destiny. And she's always been very interested in, she's had a lot of paranormal experiences, is very psychic herself, has always been very interested in working with survivors of haunted houses and paranormal stuff from a therapeutic perspective. And I do that from a psychic perspective. So in that way, I think moving forward, our life is going to be a lot about our service, which is very much what my life is anyhow, you know, more and more now.
Yeah, but where did
COVID,
you meet her? She's perfect for
kind
you.
Of randomly.
Where did you?
I know, right?
In Orange County?
In the valley, weirdly enough. Because she grew up like one town over from me. And we went to the same college in theater in high school. We're 2 years apart. And we should have met a million times. We have mutual friends. And a client of mine was having a birthday party that I dragged myself to because I was exhausted. I'd actually been down here all day. And I went up there to go to this party. And she was down here and didn't want to go up there for the party and then almost died in a car accident on the way. And then near miss of a car accident, horrible freeway accident. And then I literally sat down. I was going to go for 5 minutes, say hello, be nice, and sneak out while nobody was looking. And she just sat down next to me and said hi. And I thought, this is somebody I've known my whole life. And it was really that. That was the end of December. By the end of January, we were dating. Crazy. I said never again. I think you said never again. Yet here we are.
Right.
So it's kind of a cool story.
It's a really romantic story.
It is. It's a beautiful story. Yeah. And now we're going to, you know, spend our lives, hopefully, doing this wonderful service for folks and helping them out and helping other people to believe in love, to find better love in their friendships with their family, find their twin flames. And stop saying yes to these bad people that cause the bad relationships, you know?
It is true. I mean, that's wonderful. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, you know, it's hard to meet someone who actually, like, they get what you do. And that's kind of a blessing. Yes. And you get to have the same conversations at this table, which is cool.
Absolutely. So important.
Wow.
We are totally out of time. I have to let you go.
Just
I
like
love
that.
You to pieces. I want you to come back and do my Raising the Vibration show on a Tuesday.
Great, and I can't wait to watch your other shows. Thank you for having me. I love you to pieces.
My pleasure.
And
I love you. Where can people find you and find out about all the cool movies you've been in?
Oh, Instagram is the best place, under SADIEKATZ, Sadie Katz.
Do that, my friends. Thank you so much for being here. You are wonderful. I adore you. You are so special and one of my dearest. And I even reached out during COVID, which means I can't be a narcissist or a complete horrible.
I thought
friend.
I reached out first. So we both reached out. I love
oh,
that.
Oh, maybe you did. Oh. Okay, maybe you did. Okay, good. I'm glad that you did. Thank you, my friend, the wonderful Sadie Katz. What a joy to have her here. If you missed any of those links, please go to hauntedplayground.com, liveparanormal.com, or find me at sheenametalspiritual.com. I'm available for readings, healings. I'm available for house clearings, past life regression, animal communication. I work with couples and groups. I do mentoring. Anything you can imagine I do, check out one of my 5 shows, going to liveparanormal.com's website, 3 video shows, 2 radio shows. I'm here every Tuesday on the radio network at 6 o'clock p.m. For 5 o'clock p.m. for Raising the Vibration and 6 o'clock p.m. for Haunted Playground. And I'm just honored to be a part of this wonderful family. Now is the time where we need to seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, raise our vibrations, and honestly in our minds always think about ascension, evolvement, inspiration, and loving each other. That's what it's all about. Stay safe, stay in the light, stay away from things that go bump in the night, and we'll be back here next Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time with another wonderful guest. Happy St. Patrick's Day, my friends. I will talk to you soon. Find me at sheenametalspiritual.com. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all at Sheena Metal. And I'll be live tonight on Live Paranormal's channel on facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal doing I Am Raising Your Vibration. And yes, there will be free psychic readings. Until I see you next time, stay spooky, my friends. Thank you for listening. And I can't wait to see you again soon, and I'm so appreciative of you all and so appreciative to be part of this wonderful radio family. Stay safe. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Live Paranormal.